You'll note the title of my message, The Prophecy, parentheses, Blessing of Jacob. And you'll see, now the Bible's clear. Later, I want you to look at Genesis 49 and look at Genesis 49, verse 28. Genesis 49, verse 28. All these are the 12 tribes of Israel, and this is it that their father spake unto them and blessed them. Every one according to his blessing, he blessed them. So don't want to ignore scripture. But I want you to look at verse 1. It says, And Jacob called unto his sons and said, Gather yourselves together, that I may tell you that which shall befall you in the last days. And it seems to me to be more prophetical than it is blessings, because when you see some of these guys, where's the blessing? But it was prophetical, and so I put the prophecy slash blessing because I don't want to disagree with the Bible. And the Bible uses that terminology in verse 28. But verse 1 where he says, Gather yourselves together, my sons, that I may tell you that which shall befall you in the last days. That's where the title comes from, The Prophecy of Jacob. If this is a prophecy, it's one of the first prophecies in the Bible. There were indirect inferences of prophecy. God made covenants and commitments, but not from man. This seems to be the first prophetic announcement from a man, though the Bible also calls it a blessing as well. Genesis 49, verse 1, we're really just look at the 12 sons and what will befall them. Verse 1, And Jacob called unto his sons and said, Gather yourselves together that I may tell you that which shall befall you in the last days. Gather yourselves together and hear, ye sons of Jacob, and hearken unto Israel your father. Damien and I have talked this before that, you know, I have thoughts on why he uses Jacob and Israel. Then he does verse 2 to me. Right, he says, Gather yourselves together and hear, ye sons of Jacob, and hearken unto Israel your father. I don't know. But his new name is Israel. The old name is Jacob, but I don't know. It's not even worth me giving you my 2 cents, because verse 2 just destroys every 2 cents I could have. So he says, Gather yourselves together and hear, ye sons of Jacob, and hearken unto Israel your father. Now, let me tell you that the next six, so we get Reuben, Simeon, Levi. Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah. First four that were born. Then he finishes the fifth and sixth sons of Leah. I think you're going to see that Leah is going to take some prominence in her honor. And Jacob mentions the first six sons of Leah. And you'll see at the end of the chapter, guess who Jacob is buried with? Leah. Very cool. Now, he mourned last week over Rachel. Remember that? Just be clear. He mourned over Rachel and buried her in Bethlehem. But Jacob and Rachel were buried with Abraham and Sarah and Isaac and Rebekah. And you ask me, nobody has. I think they would have had 12 boys with Leah. And he didn't have to go outside of God's plan of one man and one woman. And even though that marriage was about as messed up as you can get, it was consummated, and he should have trusted the Lord. I think by the time he gets here, and he's going to be dead by the time we get to the end of this chapter, just to take away all doubt. But super interesting. So these first six are not in the order. First four are Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah, and then he will go Zebulun and Issachar. So, verse 3. Reuben, thou art my firstborn, my might, and the beginning of my strength, the excellency of dignity, and the excellency of power. Unstable as water, thou shalt not excel, because thou wentest up to thy father's bed, then defilest thou it, he went up to my couch. Verse 5. Simeon and Levi are brethren instruments of cruelty are in their habitations. O my soul, come not thou into their secret, unto their assembly. Mine honor, be not thou united. For in their anger they slew a man, and in their self-will they dig down a wall. Cursed be their anger, for it was fierce, and their wrath, for it was cruel. I will divide them in Jacob and scatter them in Israel. Verse 8, Judah, thou art he whom thy brethren shall praise. Thy hand shall be in the neck of thine enemies. Thy father's children shall bow down before thee. Judah is a lion's whelp, a young lion is a lion's whelp. From the prey, my son, thou art gone up. He stooped down, he couched as a lion, and as an old lion, who shall rouse him up? Just when it says as an old lion, that's not an insult. That's as the king of the jungle. Who's going to mess with the old lion, the king of the jungle? The inference is nobody. Verse 10. The scepter, the rod of authority and power of a king, the scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come. And unto him shall the gathering of the people be, binding his foal into the vine, and his ass's colt into the choice vine. He washed his garments in wine, and his clothes in the blood of grapes. His eyes shall be red with wine, and his teeth white with milk. It'll be fun when we just explain some of that. Verse 13, Zebulun shall dwell at the haven of the sea. He shall be for an haven of ships, and his border shall be unto Zidon. Issachar is a strong ass, couching down between two burdens. And he saw that rest was good, and the land that it was pleasant, and bowed his shoulder to bear, and became a servant unto tribute. Dan shall judge his people as one of the tribes of Israel. Dan shall be a serpent by the way, an adder in the path, that biteth the horse's heels, so that his rider shall fall backward. And I think verse 18 is just Jacob. I don't think it's related to Dan. I just think it's Jacob saying, I have waited for thy salvation, O Lord. Jacob is moments from going into eternity. And I think it's an independent statement, and we will ponder that a little bit later, but I don't think that's related to Dan. I have waited for thy salvation, O Lord. Gad, verse 19, a troop shall overcome him, but he shall overcome at the last. Out of Asher, his bread shall be fat, and he shall yield royal dainties. Naphtali is a hind let loose, or a deer. He giveth goodly words, or beautiful words. Joseph is a fruitful bough, branch, strong branch. Joseph is a fruitful bough, even a fruitful bough by a well, whose branches run over the wall. Just a tree that is just overflowing with life and abundance and branches with fruit. Verse 23, the archers have sorely grieved him and shot at him and hated him. But his bow abode in strength, and the arms of his hand were made strong by the hands of the Almighty, of the mighty God of Jacob. From thence is the shepherd, the stone of Israel. We'll talk about all that. Verse 25, still speaking of Joseph, even by God of thy father, who shall help thee, and by the Almighty, who shall bless thee with blessings of heaven above, blessings of the deep that lieth under, blessings of the breast and of the womb, the blessings of thy father have prevailed above the blessings of my progenitors, or his forefathers, unto the utmost bound of the everlasting hills. They shall be on the head of Joseph, and on the crown of the head of him that was separate from his brethren. Speaking of Joseph, that were separated from his brothers. Verse 27, the final son, Benjamin, shall raven as a wolf. Or as my daughter-in-law would say, wolf. I don't know how to say wolf. I mean, you got to say it with the L. Wolf. I mean, I don't know. She makes fun of me. I can't say, anyway. Whatever that beast animal is. Benjamin shall raven as a wolf. In the morning he shall devour the prey, and at night he shall divide the spoil. Verse 28, all these are the 12 tribes of Israel. And this is it that their father spake unto them and blessed them. Everyone according to his blessing, he blessed them. And he charged them and said unto them, I am to be gathered unto my people. Bury me with my fathers in the cave that is in the field of Ephron the Hittite, in the cave that is in the field of Machpelah, which is before Mamre, in the land of Canaan, which Abraham bought with the field of Ephron the Hittite for a possession of a burying place. There they buried Abraham and Sarah his wife. There they buried Isaac and Rebekah his wife. And there I buried Leah. The purchase of the field and of the cave that is therein was from the children of Heth. When Jacob had made an end of commanding his sons, he gathered up his feet unto the bed and yielded up the ghost and was gathered unto his people. I love a commentator that I read for verse 33. He said, we're invincible until God calls us home. Jacob was going to finish his statements, put his feet up on the bed, went into eternity. Title of the message again, the prophecy or blessing of Jacob. So our note takers, we're going to have one page of notes. It's going to be 11 lines, because on one line I'm going to have Simeon and Levi. And I'm going to give a simple title for each of the sons of Jacob, and we're going to talk about this. Look here at Reuben. He said, Reuben, thou art my firstborn. I want to see if I brought a bunch of stuff here, right? So a bunch of stuff here tonight, because I don't remember all this. I have to remember which woman had all the children. I do remember that. I also, there's something really cool that I wanted to know, and so I might reference this. You know, there were two, how do you say the plural of census? Censuses? Sensi? What is it? For plural, there were two censuses. They did a first census and a second census. Numbers chapter 1 and then Numbers chapter 26. And it's super interesting. It's prior to the 40 years wandering and after. And the overall numbers didn't change. These were the men of war. 603,000, I'm rounding. Prior, 602,000 after. There's some dramatic changes within. I thought that was cool. And then I needed to be reminded, where in the world did these, were their territory, right? So we'll reference that as well. In the first one here is Reuben. Here's what he says about Reuben. Reuben, thou art my firstborn, my might, and the beginning of my strength, the excellency of dignity and the excellency of power. Verse 3 is all power. It's all the hope. He had a son. It was a son born in his youth, you know, as youthful as he would. It was his firstborn. And he said, thou art my firstborn, my might, and the beginning of my strength, the excellency of dignity and the excellency of power. Right? You know, the firstborn would normally then have the responsibility, the privilege, oh, but great responsibility, to be the leader after the father passes. Not so with Reuben. Not so. The firstborn would have a double portion. Who did Jacob give a double portion to last week? To Joseph. Gave it to Joseph, Manasseh and Ephraim. And you can almost feel the pain. Do you feel the delight of a parent? Reuben, thou art my firstborn, my might, and the beginning of my strength, and the excellency of dignity, and the excellency of power. You would not expect the next words. Unstable as water, thou shalt not excel. In Genesis 35, you remember, Reuben went unto Jacob's handmaid, Bilhah. And if I were to put, and I didn't put it on my notes, but it would probably be, I didn't put it on my slide, but it'd probably be good to see my notes. If there's one word or one phrase that would define Reuben, he lacked self-control. Self-control. Unstable as water. You know, you have to have a container that helps, you know, control and contain water. Reuben lacked self-control, and it cost him the joys of the Lord. I don't know if we'll see Reuben in heaven. I don't know. You'd like to think that the 12 tribes and the fathers of the 12 tribes of Israel were all born again, but I struggle to find evidence with some of these guys. Reuben, unstable. There's much we can learn about him. He lacked self-control where he couldn't keep away from his father's handmaid. And for so many other things, I will tell you what we need. We need self-control, self-discipline, so that we will focus and honor the Lord. Because this is key. If we are unstable as water, we will not excel. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways, the Bible says. We want to excel in the Lord Jesus Christ. Do we not? Not for our glory. I want to be used for God. I don't want anybody to know about it. But I want to be used of God and not be recognized for it and just serve the Lord. And I want to excel for Jesus Christ. Do you? I do. If we're unstable, we will not excel. Reuben, maybe the greatest disappointment, even more so than who we're just about to talk about, than Simeon and Levi. Reuben, just look at the description. He had so many advantages. He had so many blessings. And he ignored them. Reuben, thou art my firstborn, my might. The beginning of my strength, the excellency of dignity and the excellency of power, but you rejected it all. Unstable as water, thou shalt not excel. You know, I'm convinced, I'll make one other comment. I don't think this pronouncement had to be. I don't know if Reuben could have maintained all the blessings of the firstborn because of his egregious sin against his father, right? But what this seems to indicate to me is no repentance. I'm convinced 100% Jacob's a believer. If Jacob's a believer, what will he do, Noah? What will he do if someone repents? He will forgive. We may not enjoy it, but we are going to learn to enjoy it because it's God's way, and we are going to love forgiveness. It doesn't appear that there was repentance. The reason I bring that up is, let's say somebody in this room, we've done terrible things such as Reuben. You don't have to be marked for the rest of your life. You do not. There is forgiveness in Christ. We must humble ourselves, turn from our sin, and do not let your sin define you for the rest of your life. If you were to leave tonight and say, I'm just like Reuben, I'm doomed, then you don't understand the Bible, and you don't understand God. I will tell you, we must humble ourselves before the Lord, and we must turn to Him without expectations. I didn't say everything's going to go back to the way it was before our grievous sin. But I can't see anything in the Bible where Reuben repented. Do not let your sin of the past define you. Do not believe that you are doomed. There are things I can do as a pastor that would disqualify me from the pastorate. That does not mean my life is over and that I am doomed. It means I blew it terribly and I can no longer be in that capacity again, but I can still enjoy, love, and serve the Lord. You understand that? I tell you this, there is hope in Christ. I do not want you to leave tonight and say, I'm just like these guys, doomed. I'm convinced Reuben didn't repent. Simeon and Levi, instruments of cruelty. Instruments of cruelty. You know the story back in Genesis 34. Shechem abused, and whether it was completely against her will or whatever, it was sin with their sister Dinah. And I get their displeasure with Shechem. There's no doubt about it. But the wrath of men worketh not the righteousness of God. If you were to put one word of instruments in cruelty, these men, Simeon and Levi, though there does seem to be some restoration of Levi, their anger. First one, unstable. Second one, anger. Anger ate these guys up. Look at verse 5. Simeon and Levi are brethren. Instruments of cruelty are in their habitations. Oh, my soul, come not thou into their secret. You don't want to know what's going on in their hearts. Unto their assembly, mine honor, be not thou united, for in their anger they slew a man, and in their self-will they dig down a wall. They just destroyed anything that was decent. Cursed be their anger, for it was fierce, and their wrath, for it was cruel. I will divide them in Jacob and scatter them in Israel. I don't think Jacob was a great father either, because remember in Genesis 34, he was just worried about himself at the time. Remember that? But these boys, Simeon and Levi, they were evil. Now, I want to show you this, that they, look at this. It says, you know, cursed be their anger. Here's what's interesting. Of the two senses, whatever, I don't know what it is. You guys need to help me. Is it really senses is the plural? It's censuses. So censuses. I was correct. I was correct. Censuses. Can we trust a hillbilly from Georgia? I'm just telling you. I'm going to give you one tribe to guess who had the greatest decline from the first census to the second. Simeon. 63% decrease. Went from 59,300, that's in Numbers 1 if you want to go back and check, to 22,200. 59,300 to 22,000. No other tribe had anywhere near that. Guess who the largest tribe was? Judah. And in these numbers for the men at war, Levi's not mentioned because Levi was the spiritual force and leaders for Israel. But it's super interesting that in a mere 40 years, give or take, right, because their wandering began after they left Egypt, they went from 59,300 men of war to 22,300. Their anger was a curse. I will tell you this. It is, let's help each other. Men, I can only speak for men. We need to control our anger. Anger will destroy us. If we do not admit it's sin, it will destroy us, and it only gets worse. You can't manage anger. You either give it up and give it over to the Lord, or you're just going to get worse. There's no other option. Cease from anger, it says in Psalm chapter 78. It became a curse for Simeon, and look what happened to Simeon. 59,000 to 22,000. Rage. Anger never works. I'm not saying it's easy. Give your anger over to the Lord. Ephesians chapter 4 would be a great passage for you if you struggle with anger. It'd be a great passage. And we've got to give it over to the Lord. If you want some great notes on anger, my wife has some awesome notes on Ephesians 4. I'm not kidding. I would get her notes. I'll get you her notes to you. And it's fabulous. We've had many, many discussions over the years about this because she has an anger issue. She does not. If anybody in this old house does, it's my son. No, it's me. You guys should be like, you should be like Cliff, man. That guy's got the biggest eyes. It's like, he looks surprised 24 hours a day. Right? I mean, it's like, she has an incredible summary because I want to tell you, it'll eat you up, chew you up, and spit you out, anger will. doesn't work. It destroyed Simeon and Levi. Here's the interesting thing is, Simeon, if I go back to my little chart here, right? I should probably have this memorized. Deb probably does. But Simeon was absorbed into Judah. Did you know that? Later, you can just mark this down. You had Joshua chapter 19, verse 1. You'll see that Simeon really had no territory of his own. Exactly fulfilling the prophecy of Jacob. And you all know this. The Levites never had any territory of their own. But it appears, and I somewhat agree with this, I don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us why Levi seems to have been restored. And Joe, have you been listening today? If we were to guess why Levi might have been restored, what might we suggest he did? Repented. Oh, Joe, that's so good. That's so good, Joe. I believe he did. And he also showed some different behavior when Levi around with Moses, even though Aaron did horrible and despicable things, when Moses went up to the mount, the Levites stood with Moses. I don't know if that's why, but I do tell you this. They were scattered, but the scattering of the Levites ended up being a blessing. They got to be scattered amongst Israel so that they could teach the people, teach their children, teach their grandchildren about the one true God. There's nothing better than that. But for Simeon, seems he never learned. Seems he never learned. If you struggle with anger tonight, ask God to help you. And tomorrow night, ask God to help you. And Friday night, ask God to help you. And Saturday night, ask God to help you. I do not want to stop praying for Nassim. I feel so embarrassed that I did not expect you to sleep this fast. What God am I serving? And I can spiritualize and go, well, you know, whatever his will is, I think his will is that he sleeps 1 hour every 48. I'm so delighted and challenged and embarrassed at the same time. And I really want us to learn how to collectively go to the Lord with things that are big but simple and go to him with our hearts. I loved hearing the men. Every one of our men prayed for him Sunday night. That's why he didn't come. He knew we were going to pray for him. And it's just good. Don't give up on seeking God. Anger will destroy you. Judah, the leader of Israel. Let's look at verse 8. Judah, thou art he whom thy brethren shall praise. Thy hand shall be in the neck of thine enemies. Thy father's children shall bow down before thee. All of this would ultimately be fulfilled in Christ because he is of the tribe of Judah, right? I love Revelation 5. We read that often, and I love that we read it often. And one of the elders saith unto me, weep not! There's somebody that can open the book. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. Jesus ultimately is that lion. Look at verse 9. I want you to try to understand verse 9. We'll walk through it. Verse 9 says, Judah is a lion's whelp. And that's a young lion, but you know, a young lion is vibrant and just energy. And Judah is a lion's whelp. From the prey, my son, thou art gone up. He can just whoop anybody he wants. From the prey, thou art gone up. He stooped down, he couched as a lion, and as an old lion that has control of his territory. And as an old lion, who shall rouse him up? I love this. It's Jesus is the Lion of Judah. Who is going to mess with Jesus? Nobody. I love this. It's so fun. I want you just to have new believers. When we had our Bible study with Chris and Don before you got there today, it was so fun, right? Because just everything that I say, Don's like, oh, he doesn't know much, right? But it was, what was I about to say? I just went blank. I have no idea. He's a new believer, but I told him something that was going to be related to verse 9, but it's gone. And but it'll come to me tomorrow and won't help you. But look at verse 10. The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be. Now, this was not fulfilled until a little over 600 years later in David. And then from David until Christ, there was a king of Judah, sometimes a puppet, that was on the throne. Shiloh is Jesus. Shiloh is the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I believe there could be dual fulfillment here. Look at this. The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come. Well, the Old Testament doesn't distinguish. There's two advents. There's two arrivals of Jesus. Until Shiloh come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be. When Jesus came the first time, people gathered all the time to see him. But when Jesus comes the second time, all the earth will gather. Verse 11, I don't think it has a lot of prophetical things, because it rolls through your mind when you say, binding his foal unto the vine. All this is saying is that the land of Judah would be so rich with the vineyards and the grapes that you would bind your donkey, your horse to a grapevine. They're that abundant versus a tree. He says, binding his foal unto the vine and his ass's colt unto the choice vine, he washed his garments in wine and his clothes in the blood of grapes. Now, all this is saying, and I think there might be some inference to Christ, is that the vineyards would be so abundant, and that's ultimately what was true in Judah. The vineyards would be so abundant that they would wash their clothes in the juice. They would wash their garments in it because they had so much. But you'll see it talks about in Revelation, you know, the grape press, the blood of the grapes. It's the blood of our Savior. Verse 12, his eyes shall be red with wine and his teeth white with milk. And in Judah, the pastures and the animals that would provide the milk. So they're going to have so much juice, so much milk. It's like your eyes are going to be red and your teeth are going to be white because you're like, I got milk in my mouth. It's just going to be overwhelming. This is a statement for Judah. Now, I remind you about Judah. Judah did horrible and despicable things. And yet, there was restoration and evidence that he repented. There was fruit meat for repentance. There was evidence that he really, really turned from the evil that he had done and wanted to do what's right, and Jacob ultimately could see it, and I believe God moved on Jacob to speak this way about Judah. I tell you this all the time. It is God is so good. As long as you're breathing, there's hope. I believe that. Judah did unrecoverable things. Things that you would not want to be seen on the streets about. He couldn't change it, could he? All he could do was be right with God from that point on. And I'm sure he still struggled with this flesh. Zebulun. Zebulun shall dwell at the haven of the sea. Zebulun was located kind of north in where Galilee would be. And Zebulun was kind of situated right between, for you guys, the Mediterranean would be over here and the Sea of Galilee would be over here. So right between the Mediterranean Sea and the Sea of Galilee, and it looks like Zebulun, let's just look at this. Zebulun shall dwell at the haven of the sea, and he shall be in haven of ships, and his border shall be unto Zidon. It looks like God told Zebulun that he would be this piece of land that people would come after long voyages on the Mediterranean and find rest and haven in the territory of Zebulun. Interesting, not a lot said about Zebulun, but that's the one thing. Issachar is a strong ass, a strong donkey, couching down between two burdens. Now, that's a great compliment. You want to be, you know, you want to be strong. If you're a man, you want to be strong. You want to, you want to be strong in the Lord. I think as a man, be strong. Don't be a sissy. Do some push-ups. Not that many. Just kidding, Steve. You know, so don't overemphasize the physical. I'm not saying that. Bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things. So I think it's a compliment, but here's what happens. Issachar is a strong ass, a strong donkey, couching down between two burdens, and he saw that rest was good. So you see a strong, lazy donkey. And he saw that rest was good, and that it was pleasant, and he bowed his shoulder to bear and became a servant unto tribute. It is interesting. Issachar, now I want to go back. Issachar is one of the, they're number three. If I include Ephraim and Manasseh together, they'd be number four. But Issachar is the third largest tribe of Israel. So they were a target many times for slaves. So when the merchant ships would come in, they found haven in Zebulun. And then Issachar, let me make sure that they're not too far away. Remember this? Oh, sorry, because I can't remember the other. Zebulun and Issachar are right next to each other. So Issachar was a target for slavery. And it says this, and become a servant unto tribute. They were known because if you're going to get slaves, Bill, do you want the strong ox or the weak flower? Issachar was known. We're a strong donkey, but we're lazy. When you got the whip as a slave, Issachar seems to have picked on through the centuries. Now look at Dan. Verse 16, Dan shall judge his people as one of the tribes of Israel. Who can name the most famous judge from Dan? Anybody else? Samson. Yes, very good. Samson. Samson was a judge. Now look at this, though. This is super interesting. We could talk about this all night long. Dan shall be a serpent by the way, an adder in the path that biteth the horse heels, so that his rider shall fall backward. It's super interesting that the territory of Dan, so honestly, I didn't research this. I don't know what the relationship is from the territory of Dan and the city of Dan. So Bethel and Dan, I will tell you this, when we visited Dan when we were in Israel, it was so consumed with idolatry. Dan, listen to this in Judges 18:30, and the children of Dan set up the graven image. That's the first time it looks like the tribe of Dan introduced graven image and idol worship to Israel. That's at least first recorded in God's word for them to do that. And so it looks like Dan introduced them into that. And then Dan, up in the city of Dan, which was, remember the two cities they put the golden calf when they had the split kingdom in Bethel in the south and Dan in the north. But it looks like Dan was always a stumbling block. This is super interesting. Which tribe is left out of the 12 tribes in Revelation chapter 7? Dan. It's then interesting. Ezekiel mentions Dan in the millennial kingdom. It's the mercy and forgiveness of God. But Dan is not mentioned. There's not 12,000 from the tribe of Dan in the witnesses in Revelation chapter 7. There's some, and I don't go there, there's some that will teach, and I think it's a little loose, but I'll tell you anyway, that believe that the Antichrist may be from the tribe of Dan. And there's a verse, there's a couple interesting verses, but it seems to be a little loose for me. But you see verse 17, this is not good. Dan shall be a serpent by the way, an adder in the path, that biteth the horse's heels, so that his rider shall fall backward. Then I've told you before, Jacob makes this statement. You can tell he's knowing he's super close to passing over. Passing over into eternity, I have waited for thy salvation, O Lord. Jacob lived another 17 years after he saw Joseph. He was planning on dying when he saw Joseph. Jacob's one of these guys, and I'm going to stop talking about death so much because I don't want to be like Jacob. Our pastor's been talking about dying since the day he began to pastor. I do look forward to it, but I don't want to talk about it so much. I do talk about it more than the average bear, probably. But I sound like Jacob. I don't really like the way Jacob sounds in the Bible. And but it is, he said, "I have waited for thy salvation, O Lord." To me, that's a beautiful thing. He's moments away from entering into eternity. Do you sense fear? I don't. I sense excitement. "I have waited for thy salvation, O Lord." And it's about to come. Gad, it says in Gad, it says, "Gad, a troop shall overcome him, but he shall overcome at the last." There's times that there's no Bible verse. You know, in Jeremiah, it talks about Gad being overcome and oppressed by the foreign armies in Jeremiah 49. But there's nowhere in the scriptures that it talks about Gad overcoming at the last. And so, very little. Asher, bread and royal dainties, right? So Asher is up furthest northwest. This would be your northwest. Furthest northwest along the Mediterranean Sea. And so it is known for their wheat and their abundance. And in being on the Mediterranean Sea, they would have a trade and all kinds of royal, and they were known for this. It is so fascinating that Asher was known for just luxuries. If we use the word today, I think we would use luxuries versus dainties, right? And but they were known for the luxuries of the world that would come in through the Mediterranean Sea. I like this in Deuteronomy 33:24. This isn't for me, but it says, "And of Asher, he said, let Asher be blessed with children, let him be acceptable to his brethren, and let him dip his foot in oil." It seems like that oil was something special, that maybe was one of the dainties, one of the luxuries that Asher had. It's so interesting, right, that he has so little to say about some and so much to say about others. Now, Naphtali. Naphtali is where Jesus grew up. It extends much further, but it goes against, it abuts unto the Sea of Galilee and goes far enough west, covers Nazareth. So take that in mind when we read this. It says, "Naphtali is a hind let loose," or a deer, "and he giveth goodly words." And I just said free, and it's free, it should be semicolon, and beautiful words. It's not free and beautiful words. It's just, it seems like Naphtali would have a free spirit. And you know, you let a, you ever, I've watched these things, you know, where they, a deer gets caught and they let him go and they take off, right? And that's kind of the spirit of Naphtali, is a hind let loose, and he giveth goodly words. No more beautiful words than the words of the Savior that grew up in the territory of Naphtali, the Nazarene, Jesus of Nazareth. No more beautiful words came out of his mouth. Whether that is the application for Naphtali, I don't know, but Jesus came from the territory of Naphtali. He was of the tribe of Judah, but he grew up in the territory of Naphtali. And then Joseph, now we have five verses on Joseph. Look at this. Joseph is a fruitful bough. And you may say, I have an obsession maybe with fruit. And this Joseph, when it talks about this, I think there is great thought that this is spiritual fruit as well. When you see that Joseph, this is living. There's no other than Judah. He said, Joseph is a fruitful bough, even a fruitful bough by a well whose branches run over the wall. That is a blessing, to be a fruitful bough, to be fruitful, that all that we might be fruitful for the cause of Christ. But understand this, you want to be fruitful, look at verse 23. You better expect some archers. The devil's not going to like it. And he had 10 brothers. Benjamin was too young. 10 brothers that hated his guts. a devil that hated him, a woman that turned on him where he did no wrong. The archers have sorely grieved him and shot at him and hated him. You want to be fruitful for the Lord? Expect arrows. Be kind. Be nice. See, we have to be super careful. And I have to be more careful than you. I tell you, I can be cantankerous. You know, I mean, I'm worried about getting old. Like, what? I mean, I try to observe old people, and I'm like, don't be like that. You know, but I am, if you're irritated, I can outdo you. It's not good. I got to work on that. But it is, if you're going to serve the Lord, expect archers, expect arrows, expect difficulty, and then endure and do what's right, and God will use you. But look, but his bow abode in strength, and the arms of his hand were made strong. Now, I did say, I don't want no sissies here, but our strength is the Lord. Understand this. Right? I'm just telling you this. Let's bottle the exercise profit a little. But look this. His bow abode in strength, and the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. Joseph was made strong by the Lord. So do not misunderstand me tonight when I said, hey, do some push-ups. I don't make that your emphasis. Be a man. Be a woman. But it's this. If you're going to make it, your hands, your bow, your strength needs to come from the Lord. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Jeff, help me. I've been on this study more than you imagine, you know. Jeff's just, he's a contrarian. I'm a contrarian. He's a contrarian to the contrarian. And that's irritating. But he really had me on a good study, because in my favorite chapter, John 15:11, Jesus said, these things have I spoken unto you that my joy might remain. And Jeff goes, I'd like to study what his joy is. And I'm like, should have done that if it's my favorite chapter. Jeff, my study keeps going on, because I'll tell you this, it's so awesome, right? He said, these things have I spoken to you that my joy might remain, and that your joy might be full. There's a difference in his joy and your joy, isn't there? It's so good. My study's not done. Thanks for nothing, Jeff. But it's been good for me. It's been good for me that we would have his joy, and that will be our strength. This is super important. Your joy isn't your strength. It's the joy of the Lord that's our strength. If you think you have to be, howdy doody, nobody knows who howdy doody is anymore, just that fake, clown that was in existence years ago, but it was just a puppet. Anybody know who howdy doody is? Oh, good grief, I'm never going to mention that again. I'm going to find some young thing, but howdy doody was like, hi kids, I'm happy all the time, right? And it's like, like a clown has a happy face. I'm not talking about that. The joy of the Lord is your strength. You help me do that study. You want to be strong, Keaton, in the Lord? It's his joy, not yours. It'd be great if you had joy. Jesus had spoke those things that his joy might remain and your joy might be full. Which would you think is better, his joy or your joy? You're in church, of course. You know the answer. His joy. But how often do we think about that? Not that often. We're always worried about, I'm not happy. Well, how about getting the Lord's joy? The joy of the Lord is my strength. And he had that. Then let me show you this, just to be clear, because this threw me for a loop until I just slow down. How many of you are confused a little bit by the parentheses in verse 24? Anybody confused by that? I saw one head say yes. Thank you, Ron, for the vulnerability. I'm not going to preach it if Ron's the only one. I'm going to skip it. Anybody else confused? Jacob's always confused, so I don't know. Verse 24, look at this. He said, but his bow abode in strength, and his arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. It's the God of Jacob that's the from thence. It's the God of Jacob that the, and I think this is a reference to Christ, from thence is the shepherd, the stone of Israel. And it's the emphasis in John. What does John say all the time, Noah? God sent, God sent, God sent, God sent from thence, from thence. He doesn't say from thence, but it's Joseph's hands were made strong by the same God that issued forth Jesus, the great shepherd, the stone of Israel. And I think that is. So when I immediately thought, well, this is Jesus. Jesus didn't come from the tribe of Joseph. You know, I was a little confused, right? Because I'm like, that's got to be Jesus. And then you just back up and you go, the from thence is from the mighty God of Israel. That the shepherd and the stone of Israel is sent from thence. Verse 25, even by the God of thy father who shall help thee, and by the Almighty who shall bless thee with blessings of heaven above, blessings of the deep that lieth underneath, blessings of the breast and of the womb, just children. I want you to understand this. That fruit that it talked about, I believe in verse 22, I believe verse 25 is the earthly blessings. You see this? He says, who shall bless thee with blessings of heaven above, blessings of the deep, probably water, that lieth under, blessings of the breast and of the womb, that you have children and just love the relationships God gives you. Verse 26, the blessings of thy father have, and this is Jacob speaking, verse 26, the blessings of thy father have prevailed above the blessing of my progenitors unto the utmost bound of the everlasting hills. Jacob, you got to understand this. Jacob realizes this. Jacob was a whiner most of his life, right? At least that's what the Bible would give us, right? Oh, look what you've done to me. Right before he's about to die, he goes, you know what? I'm more blessed than any of my grandfather, my father, I'm more blessed than them. He says, the blessings of thy father, he's talking to Joseph, the blessings of me have prevailed above the blessings of my progenitors unto the utmost bound of the everlasting hills. And he said, they shall be on the head of Joseph. These same blessings will be on you, Joseph, and on the crown of the head of him that was separate from his brethren. Joseph, God will reward you for your suffering. And I believe it's because Joseph remained faithful. As much as a person in the flesh can be faithful, Joseph's one of the top 10, at least according to the Bible, says very little negative, if any, about Joseph. And then finally, the Benjamites. Now, if I would be from a tribe, I'd want to be from the Benjamites. How many of you are a left-handed? Only three people in our room are left-handed. Is that right? She's in the nursery. Doesn't count. If you're in the nursery, you have to be ambidextrous, right? And so we got three people that are left-handed, right? It's only 16% of the population is left-handed. Now, the Benjamites were known for being left-handed. Do you see what it says here? And so I've got to hustle because I know this. Lauren is standing by that clock. You moved it, didn't you? You cheat. So look at verse 27. Benjamin shall raven as a wolf. Wolf, whatever. In the morning he shall devour the prey, and at night he shall devour the spoil. They were known to be ferocious warriors. And they would come the opposite of what the enemy would expect. Whoosh, left-handed. You know who one of my favorites is? Ehud. Ehud, man. He lost a knife. Little Eglon action. Boink. And Eglon, belly swallowed his knife, came at Eglon left-handed. You know, there's a couple other famous Benjamites. Saul, the king, and then another Saul that became Paul. Paul was ferocious, wasn't he? Before he was saved, and I'm going to suggest that Paul became ferocious after he was saved. Gently, under Christ, with the Benjamites. Now let's quickly, Jacob's death. I don't have a line on that, but I just, again, Jacob is insistent, I want to be buried where my family is. And Joseph gets to take care of that. We'll see next week in chapter 50. But again, I don't know if it was Jacob, but I'll tell you this. God honored Leah. He did. It's probably God. I just want you to understand this, and I'll finish on this. Ladies, you're never going to get the credit you deserve. You're always going to be discounted. It's sin and wrong if we do it. This isn't to justify this. You follow me? It's not to justify any of it. I'm not. You will never be discounted by God. God sees everything. He knows the heart. And He rewards women equally with men. You don't have to be in the limelight. He sees it. I think God bless Leah. She felt hated by Jacob, and she was married by him. I think we're going to see Leah in heaven. Leah is one of the greatest stories of battling, frustrating life. And finally she realized the joy was in the Lord. I just highlight these things, and I think they're God. You see, if we live to be recognized this side of heaven, we're going to quit. Or we're going to live for men. Trust the Lord. He sees it all. Joseph, 22 years, thought everybody had forgotten about him, but one person didn't. I guess two. God and Jacob mourned for him every day. The prophecy of Jacob, it's fulfilled in these men and their descendants. Trust the Lord. If you've heard one thing tonight, here's what I want you to hear. You are not doomed. But you can doom your life if you do not make things right with God. If you want to stay angry all your life, you'll destroy your life. You want to be unstable all your life, you will not excel. If we want to resist humbling ourselves and turning to the Lord, we will miss out on His joy. Let's pray.